Yo, what is happening, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. And in today's podcast, we're going to talk about agreeing to disagree. Now, the reason that I want to talk about this is something that I find very fascinating with people and how they, when you challenge them, how they will turn. They will turn where, what I like to say, they hit the ditch. And I did talk about this in yesterday's podcast, all about the zombie apocalypse. But I wanted to cover something else that I thought was very fascinating, because it's something that I've seen multiple times now from people. And it kind of adds to what I was saying about the zombie apocalypse, about how people will just make things up in order to keep their belief system when you happen to challenge it. So there's a couple things that people do. So in the first one, it's kind of like they will make up whatever they need to make up in order to keep their belief. And then in the other instance, they may actually try to inject something like, let's just agree to disagree. And we'll talk more about that and what I mean about the whole situation. And there's nothing wrong with agreeing to disagree, but I'll show you how a lot of times it is used in these situations. And that's really what blows me away, that to be honest, it actually sends me up the wall. I go from 0 to 100 just because it makes no sense whatsoever. And once it's at that point, that's where I just pretty much want to hit these people over the head to try and get it to just make sense in their head, to show them, look, what you're saying makes zero sense whatsoever. And it just sends me from 0 to 100 each and every single time. It's quite interesting, quite fascinating. So let's talk about the first one here. People will just make things up. And I talked about this in the other podcast about the zombie apocalypse, about how people just always seem to know people. They know people who died of coronavirus. They know people who are working in the New York hospitals where people are dying every 5 minutes. They know people who were in the Boston bombing. They know people who were at Sandy Hook, who were at the Las Vegas shooting. They always know people. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm not saying that there are people who don't know. Like, obviously somebody knows somebody there. But what I'm saying is, how is it that when I'm talking to people, it just seems like everybody always knows somebody? They always do. And I always think it's fascinating. I'm like, wow, that's just so fascinating. But then when it happens over and over and over again, you start to think, there's a pattern here. This person is actually doing something. And you realize that it's a defense mechanism, that you're coming in, you're smashing down the walls of their belief system. You're essentially telling them that they're wrong. Now, it's not always about coming in and just destroying their livelihood and telling them that they're wrong. It's not all about that. There are instances where, yes, I very much will come in and destroy people and tell them that they're wrong. I will bring them to the realization that they are wrong. It's not me coming in and saying, hey, you're wrong. It's bringing them to the realization where they have no choice but to see, holy smokes, I'm wrong. But at the end of the day, nobody likes to admit that they're wrong. Who does? It's not a very good feeling. I don't like to admit I'm wrong. It's terrible. Will I admit that I'm wrong? Absolutely, 100%. I have no problems with admitting that I am wrong, that I have done wrong, that I was wrong. And sometimes I can see it immediately. Sometimes I need to be able to be shown it And then sometimes it may take me a while where I come around and I say, you know what? I was wrong in that situation. And I've had that many times where it may have been months later, and then I would come back and say, hey, look, I had some realization, and I can now finally see what I didn't see before. And I've done that before. I've done that many times. And that's a part of being open. That's part of being open-minded and being willing to change, being willing to grow, is you have to accept your faults. You have to know that you are not perfect, and that you will always be a work in progress. You will always mess up, but you will always succeed as well. So, as long as we are looking for those opportunities and we're open to them, no matter how hard they may be, that's totally okay. So, let's see. In these situations where people don't like to admit that they're wrong, they will go as far as making things up just to keep their own belief system intact. And it's quite interesting. And like I mentioned earlier, is that you kind of paint someone into a corner with facts, logic, and common sense. Now, with me, I always say I don't ask for much. I don't think that asking for facts, logic, and common sense is really all that asking for much. I feel that that is something that we should be able to come to terms together on. It doesn't matter if you're tall, you're short, you're black, you're white, you're liberal, you're political, you're religious, you're whatever it is. If you like vanilla ice cream versus strawberry ice cream, it doesn't matter. What matters is that, okay, we can be different people, but at least we can come together on some common ground like facts, logic, and common sense. But unfortunately, in today's world, that is asking for too much. And I find it fascinating. As the days go on, especially during this so-called pandemic, I feel like I am 100%, there is just no possible way I can be from this planet. There is just no way. I look at these, how people are working, how people are functioning, what people are doing. You can bring them right up to the realization in a situation that, look, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. And then they will make up whatever they want to make up in order to keep their belief that 1 + 1 = 3. And it's shocking, to say the least. And there's some people who will surprise you as well. Some people who you think wouldn't do such a thing would. If you bring them to that point, if you find that right angle, they will do exactly that. They won't apologize. They won't ever apologize. They won't ever admit fault. They won't ever admit that they were wrong. And there's all kinds of reasons as to why someone may not admit that they're wrong, or like to admit that they're wrong, and that's totally fine. They may have some underlying beliefs that they haven't dealt with yet, where in a way they feel like they're being made to be feel stupid. So in that situation of you bringing them to the realization that their information is not good information, and it pretty suspect of being wrong, well, in that finding, in that realization, you're essentially telling them, and this may not be your intention, that you're telling them that they're stupid. They may be taking it as you are telling them that they are stupid. when that is not your intention whatsoever. And that's not your fault, unfortunately. That comes down on them and their own beliefs and their own demons that they have in their closets. That if they can't see that you are just presenting information, presenting questions, or even challenging what they are saying with better information that they have, it is not your fault by any means if they are taking that you are calling them stupid. That is under their own thing. So there are a lot of reasons as to why someone may not want to admit that they're wrong, and that would be a really big part of it, is people can have underlying things like that where when they are made to feel stupid or put in a situation where they're made to feel stupid, or they think they're being made to feel stupid, that's when they react, and it becomes almost like a survival mechanism at this point where they will make things up just to keep them in their bubble. So it's very fascinating where you can say, look, 1 + 1 = 2. And you can present the information and they'll say, no, it doesn't. 1 + 1 = 3. And you're sitting there and you're saying, look, I have one strawberry. I'm going to put it on the table. I have another one strawberry. I'm going to put it next to the first strawberry. How many strawberries do I have on the table? And they will look at you and they will say, well, do the strawberries even exist? And you're like, what? Yes, they do. They're right in front of us. And they say, well, do we even exist? Are we even here? How do you know the strawberries are there? Because I'm looking at them. I'm touching them. I'm feeling them. And this is usually the point where I go from 0 to 100 and I just like, I just go crazy. But this is what they do. You're trying to, you've brought them to the realization that their information that they're currently running on is essentially wrong. And like I said, it's got nothing to do with right or wrong. It's just, hey, look, you have information that may not be correct. I have information that seems to be far more correct than yours. And this is why. I'm not just saying that. I'm showing you as to why. But they don't like that. And they think that you are making them feel stupid. So the defense mechanism kicks in for whatever reason. And they will go as far as really just starting to like make things up. And it's actually quite interesting. And I like, believe it or not, I have seen this. And you can see this. If you learn how to paint people into a corner with facts, logic, and common sense, you can see this as well for yourself. I've seen it many times, and like I had mentioned in yesterday's podcast, you can see it, how people use it in certain situations. So it's actually quite common. And I find it quite, even though I do find it quite annoying, and like I said, it sends me from 0 to 100, just like in an instance, it is at the same time very fascinating. Because it really is a defense mechanism. You know you've struck a chord with somebody. And I've mentioned before as well that when you challenge someone's belief system, it doesn't matter what you say, what you bring to the table, you're challenging their belief system. And once again, nobody likes to admit that they're wrong. Nobody. And that's okay. It's okay to not want to admit that you're wrong. It is a tough thing. I admit that I'm wrong many times. I admit fault. I know where I fuck up. I know where I succeed and I know where I don't. But I do have the ability to be able to see it. And even though I may not be able to see it right away, hopefully I will eventually see it. But if somebody brings it to me and shows me, hey, look, you're actually wrong on this information, I'm like, damn, that sucks. But if I have information, let's say, about veganism, for example, I can't sit here and have a firm stance on veganism, whether it's good for people or bad for people, or good for the environment or bad for the environment, or whatever. I can't have a firm stance on that because I don't have enough knowledge in there. Am I open to it? Yes, 100%. I will sit down and watch a movie like, what was that one called? Dominion. It's horrible. Had me bawling my eyes out. It's a terrible movie. But I'm open to seeing something like that. I'm open to getting that information in front of me. I know people who will just say, no, I don't want to watch that. Blackfish, the one about the killer whales, I know people who won't watch that. I'm like, no, I will never watch that. But they will continue to go to the zoos and marine land, all these places. And it's just, it's unfortunate. It's like, look, you don't have to be a vegan. Okay, you don't have to be like a full-blown animal lover, but at least have the information. So in these situations, when you paint somebody into a corner with facts, logic, and common sense, something that I would think that we could all come together on, but unfortunately we can't. When you paint someone into a corner, they will go as far as making things up just to keep their belief system intact, so that they don't have to admit they're wrong, so they don't have to apologize, so they don't have to show that the whole time that they were believing something is actually wrong and was based upon not good information. So it's very fascinating to see what people will do. I remember I had this one conversation with a gentleman, and I was talking about how these missing people were, well, this police officer was looking into all these missing people all around the world. And there were all these situations that were just very interesting. People would be found miles away with no shoes, having to trek up incredible heights that people with professional climbing gear probably couldn't even get to. Yet, let's say a 10-year-old child was found up there with no apparent injuries, no apparent scratches, like from an animal or anything. But here they were. They went missing, and then all of a sudden, 14 days later, they're found in a situation where people can't even fathom, how did they get here? How did they physically get here? Professional climbers with all the professional gear would have an extremely hard time to get to this point in this mountain. But it was flying over with a helicopter and just having to see the clothing on this child that they were found here. But nobody can explain how they got there. And this is just one example of many as I was talking with this other guy that I used to work with. He didn't like that I would basically not have an answer as to how this person got there. So it was like I was just opening the door and saying, it's really interesting, you know, like these people are found in these really odd places and nobody can explain how they physically got there with no injuries, no water, no food. They're gone for 14 days. Like there's just so many inconsistencies out of these whole things and nobody can seem to explain them. And as I was telling this guy, he has to come in and he didn't like that I was kind of just leaving the doors. He's like, well, what do you think? I was like, well, I don't know. All I know is that these are the search and rescue people who are saying it's incredible for a child to have ended up miles away from where they were last seen, up in this huge cliffside with no apparent injuries. Their feet don't look like they've been walking for miles and miles. They have no shoes. We don't know where their shoes are. Like, there's just all these inconsistencies. And I just say, I don't know the answer. But the gentleman, he didn't like that I didn't have any answers. He didn't like that there were no answers. So he would just start making things up. He would say, well, there's all kinds of things. Like, maybe, you know, maybe like a bird would like come and, you know, pick him up and drop him there. I was like, a bird? 10-year-old child? He's like, well, they do it all the time with like little kids and stuff. I'm like, yeah, but we're talking about a 10-year-old child. Like, and it was just quite fascinating that every time that I'm like, okay, well, let's say some magical pterodactyl came along and carried this kid there. They still survived off of water, nothing. They didn't have food or water and anything. I'm like, this isn't me saying this. This is straight from the search and rescue, the police officer who's looking into these things. This is, and there's thousands of cases. He literally has 6 books that he writes about and is talking about this information. He says there's just weird consistencies that are happening with all these missing people all around the globe. And so there was another one. I said, well, police dogs, when they're brought in, into the area where the child was last found. And then they just stop. There's no more scent. They have no idea where to go. And this happens on many, many, many of the missing persons cases that this police officer looks into, that when they bring in the dogs will be following a scent, and then they just stop and they just lay down. Because they're just saying, there's no more scent. I don't know where else to go. And so as I'm explaining all these different things, this guy is just making things up. And he just says, well, he's like, how reliable are sniffing dogs? They're not reliable. We use them. We think they're reliable. But how reliable are they? And I was like, they're pretty reliable. They're now training dogs to sniff out electrical devices so that when they go into a home of a suspected child predator, these dogs can find electronic devices that child pornography is on. USB sticks, hard drives, computers, laptops. They bring in the dogs and they find the little hidden places where these predators are hiding their electronic devices. So, but I thought it was very interesting. And there was actually a girl who was sitting at the same table. And she was watching us go back and forth. Because, like I said, I would just essentially leave the door open. I didn't need an answer. I didn't need a solid answer for these oddities that were happening with these missing people. All we needed to know is that there's some missing people going on, and there's some really weird things happening with these missing people. But he couldn't have those doors open. He needed to have an answer. And it didn't matter if he just could, if he had to make things up, he would. And I remember the girl who was sitting there watching us go back and forth, because I would bring something up and then he would basically try and like shut that door. I'd bring up another point, open the door, and he'd just make something up and shut it. And just like bam, bam, bam. And we just kept going. And she was laughing because she says, that's where I got the doors example from, because she says it's like you're coming along opening these doors and you're fine with opening the doors, but you need to close the door. So you will just say whatever you need to say in order to shut the door. And I was like, yeah, it's fascinating to say the least. But I thought it was very interesting having this conversation with this gentleman. He was actually, I think he might have been about the same age as me. And so I thought it was very interesting. And so that's one example of many that I've had. And like I said, when you have conversations with people, they will really just make things up just to... If somebody doesn't like police officers, for example, I've never had a bad situation with a police officer. I don't have any ill will against police officers. I have respect for them. They, most of the time, they have respected me. I've respected them. And even my last speeding ticket, I should have got a much bigger speeding ticket, but he gave me one that was probably like the bare minimum. And he may have fudged the numbers a little bit, but in order to do it. And I'm 100% thankful. Do I speed anymore? No. And so I quite respect them. But if somebody has a belief about police officers, and let's say I were to come in and start sharing like, oh, this is my experience with police officers, they may make something up in that situation. And they might say, oh, well, he probably just wanted to, it's probably the end of his shift and he had to pull you over, and but he just wanted to get rid of you, and so that's why he did it. If they have a belief in something that, you know, police officers are bad, they literally will make things up. I've literally had this before. I had a police officer file a dispute for a speeding ticket. I've never disputed a speeding ticket in my life. But this one time, I did have a police officer do it. I got a letter a couple weeks later, and it was because I was fairly honest. Like, then he was kind of surprised because he asked me, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And I said, "Yeah, because I was speeding." And he's like, he was kind of surprised. He's like, "Yeah, that's right. Do you know how fast you were going?" I was like, "Yeah, I was going close to 90 in a 50 zone." And he was shocked. He's like, "Yeah, that's 100% right." I was like, "Wow." And I was like, "Well, just, you know, like," I thought it was kind of interesting that he was surprised. But I guess, you know, a lot of people do bullshit them. And so, and he probably just hears that all the time, just the bullshit all the time. So when somebody comes along and like tells him the truth, he's just kind of taken back by it. So I got caught doing, you know, in the wrong, and like, why lie about it? Why try and make some excuse up? It's like, look, I was doing this speed, you caught me. And I even said, look, this is the reason as to why I was. I just got my car out of the mechanic shop. He told me to really drive it so that we could make sure that we fixed the problem. And that's what I was doing. And so he listened to me and he's like, okay, it's not like I was trying to make something up totally. I was like, I literally just pulled out of the mechanic shop just like back there. And so anyways, I went and I paid the ticket after he gave it to me. He actually could have gave me two. I remember there was another fine. And he's like, which one do you want off? He gave me a choice to like scratch one of them out. And I was like, scratch that one out. I think it was for like my seatbelt or something. Or I can't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure I always wear my seatbelt. I can't remember what it was. But a few weeks later, after paying my speeding ticket, I get a letter in the mail. And this letter says, hey, we've got your request to dispute the ticket. And I remember looking at my girlfriend at the time and I said, this is weird. I didn't dispute a ticket. I've never disputed a ticket in my life. I can't be bothered to dispute a ticket. It's easier and better for me to just pay it and just deal with it. And so I was like, okay, whatever. And then a few weeks later, I think I got a check, or I got a notice that just said, hey, oh no, no, it was a notice that said, hey, your dispute for your ticket has been approved and you don't have to pay it. If you've already paid it, go down to the office and you can get your money back. And I was like, what the heck? So I go back and I get my money back. I said, look, this is weird. Like, I've never disputed a ticket, but how did this happen? And she's looking at it and she says, from what I can see, it looks like the police officer put in the dispute. And I was just like taken back. I was like, that's cool. She's like, yeah, I've never seen that before. She's like, that's really cool. I was like, wow, I don't even know what to say. So anyways, I shared this with somebody one time. And what did he say? But he just kind of like made up whatever. He's like, oh, it probably wasn't even him. It was just, you know, a mess up in the system and this and that. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, whatever. Like, that's how people are, is that when they have a certain belief, they will hear what you're saying, but they don't like it. So they will just make up whatever they want because it goes against their belief system. And so they will just make something up just to dismiss whatever you have just said, so that they can go back to believing what they believe, because they don't want to believe anything else. They don't want to believe that maybe cops are good. Maybe not all cops are bad. And so it's very fascinating to see how people are in these situations. And there's a lot. I've literally had people where I'm having a conversation, and sometimes they get real wacky, where they just kind of like, well, does this even exist? How do we actually know? And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, the two strawberries exist because they're here. I'm touching them. But are you actually touching them? Like, are you serious right now? And then they just mess up the whole, they mess me up, to say the least. They mess me completely up because I'm just like, do you hear yourself right now? Like, do you actually hear yourself right now? Like, we're just pulling stuff out of the air. I'm like, wow, this is fascinating. But unfortunately, there's nothing you can say at this point. There is nothing that you can bring in to bring any sense to the table whatsoever. They're gone. They are long gone. They are just in outer space. And so it's extremely fascinating. So that is one direction that someone may actually go when you corner them in, when you paint them into a corner with facts, logic, and common sense. Another direction that they might actually go is where they will try to inject something like, let's just agree to disagree, or something like that. May not be those exact words, but it's definitely something that pretty much means the same thing. This is another one that I have seen many times, and it's another one that sends me from 0 to 100 because there's no sense in it whatsoever. Anything that just does not make sense, and it just blows me away that the other person can't see that it makes zero sense at all, like I just like flip out. It is literally my kryptonite. Idiotic, stupid people are literally my kryptonite. They just fucking break me. They just like, my brain explodes and I turn into a werewolf. So this one I've had many times as well, and this is another one that people will do just to keep their own belief system. They will want to agree to disagree. Now, mind you, I'm not saying, okay, that we can never agree to disagree, because there's certain areas where we can agree to disagree, but there are certain areas where we cannot. Now, if we want to agree or disagree whether or not teriyaki beef jerky is better than sweet chili Thai beef jerky. Well, if we want to argue about which one's better of those two, well, at some point we can agree to disagree. We have that ability to, because you may really like sweet chili teriyaki, or what is it? Sweet Thai chili beef jerky, and I might like teriyaki beef jerky. But we won't be able to meet in the middle, so we just agree to disagree. Okay, let's agree to disagree that whoever's beef jerky is better. Okay, that's where we can agree to disagree. I have no qualms with that whatsoever. Where I run into a qualm is if you come along and you say, okay, if we're having the discussion and I say, yeah, beef jerky is made of beef, and you say, no, beef jerky is actually not made of beef. It can be made of all kinds of things. And I'm like, okay, well, if it's chicken jerky, then it's chicken jerky. If it's any other kind of, let's say, beyond meat jerky, then it would be either beyond meat, impossible meat jerky, or maybe just jerky by itself. But if it is jerky that is made from a cow's, aka beef, then it is beef jerky. And then the other person comes in and says, no, that's wrong. Beef jerky is not made from beef. It can be made from all kinds of things. And I'm sitting there saying, look, I hear what you're saying. If it's made from turkey, that's called turkey jerky. If it's made from pork, that's called pork jerky. If it's made from fruit, that's a lot of times called fruit jerky. But if it's made from beef, the reason we call it beef jerky is because it is made from beef. So the other person in this situation may say, well, let's just agree to disagree. This is where I fucking flip out. I'm like, no. We cannot agree to disagree that beef jerky is made from beef. We cannot agree to disagree on that. We cannot agree to disagree that the grass that I'm looking at in front of me is green. You can sit there and say that it's purple, but we cannot agree to disagree that it is not. Well, maybe you're colorblind, but whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. There's a factual thing. Like, I'm saying, look, I am 5 foot 10 inches tall, and you're saying, no, you're 5 feet tall. No, I'm pretty sure I'm 5 feet 10 inches tall. Okay, well, let's just agree to disagree. This is where I go from 0 to 100. I flip out, I turn into a werewolf, and I go crazy because it is making no sense whatsoever. I'm like, take out the fucking tape measure. Let's measure it right now. I am 5 foot 10 inches. There's no possible way that I'm 5 foot. But they're just like, agree to disagree. And so it's so interesting. So, like I said, whether we're talking about Saucony running shoes versus Vibram 5-finger running shoes, we can agree to disagree which ones are better. Whether it's Android phones versus iPhones, we can agree to disagree on which one's better. But if you come out and say, hey, look, I've got the 10-inch iPhone 22 XT Max. I just bought it yesterday. I can say, well, the 10-inch iPhone 22 XT Max doesn't exist. So that's impossible. It's never existed. And you say, yes, it does. Let's just agree to disagree. I'm like, well, we can't. This is where I go from 0 to 100 again. I flip out and turn into a werewolf. It's like we can't agree to disagree on something that is factual. There are three iPhones. These are them. You do not have one of them. I don't know where you got that, what it is. It's not a real iPhone. You may have a fake one, and they may say, well, it's not fake. Let's just agree to disagree. And so this is something that I've seen in people many times, and I find it extremely fascinating. It's sometimes I wonder, I wish I could, like, sometimes I wish I could do that, where you have so much conviction, so much belief in something that you are willing to just make up whatever. And I'm always curious to think, does this person know? Does this person realize? Is this person even, like, conscious right now? Are they even aware of what they're saying? Like, I don't think it's a mental illness. I don't know exactly what it is. In a way, it's like a mental illness, but I don't know. It's fascinating, to say the least. I've even seen this within like close family members. You know, my sister, for example, and so my sister and I don't talk, partially because of a similar situation like this, where they just kind of made stuff up, and I was just blown away by it. And I was like, I can't believe you just made that up. Like, and then I had to like tell people, I'm like, I didn't do such a thing. That was 100% without a doubt made up. And so, really fascinating. I've seen it many times, and like I said, I even have it very close and personal. There's people who you think would never do such a thing, and they do. You get them in the right angle, you get them on the right topic, and they will show you that they will do the exact same thing. And I think it's interesting that in these situations, they also don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to discuss it. So if you're sitting there showing them, hey, look, 1 + 1 = 2, here's how I can show you that, they will make up whatever. They won't even want to discuss it. And then they'll just continue on the conversation. So, and say, oh, so how's your new house? How's your new car? Like, oh, we're just gonna ignore all the facts, logic, and common sense that was brought to the table? Like, okay. And then, like, that's it. I'm just like, wow. Okay. So I'm just supposed to pretend like you totally just dismissed the facts, logic, and common sense that were brought to the table. So that tells me that you're not open-minded. You're not open to change. You're not open to new ideas, new beliefs. And I'm just supposed to accept that. It's interesting. It's fascinating. A little annoying, but okay. But this is something that I see, and I find it very fascinating what people will do. And like I said, as much as people annoy me, they do fascinate me as well, because I see these things. And if you can understand how people are, you can navigate in this world a little bit better, because you know what people will do and how people will react. You can almost kind of like move them in a direction just by words that you say, by your body language, your energy. You're able to kind of guide people in such a way, and it's extremely fascinating. So that is just something that I wanted to bring up, and maybe you might actually see it now that you actually see what I'm talking about. And if you listen to the Zombie Apocalypse podcast from yesterday, you will see that I talked a little bit more in depth about this, and so you can get a better understanding, and maybe you just might see it now in your everyday life a little bit more often. Because it is out there. Like I said, if you paint someone into a corner with facts, logic, and common sense, that is when you will see this. That's because in order for them to do it, it's like their last haymaker. It's their last shot. And it doesn't even matter if they have to make something just totally oblivious up. It doesn't matter. They will do it just to try and keep their belief system. Now, I must warn you, don't try and push this forward. If you notice this, don't keep pushing it. And I've pushed it. I'm not going to lie and say that I've never pushed it. I'm telling you, don't push it, because of I know what it's like if you do push it. Don't push it. Just recognize it. See it for what it is. You found the wall. You found the edge. you know what kind of person you're dealing with now. Like I said, I don't quite know if it's like mental illness or what it is. Like, it's fascinating to say the least, but don't push it. If you notice that you just bumped into that wall and they just threw in their last haymaker and you know it's basically bullshit, just back off right there. Just back off. You see what you're dealing with. You know what kind of person is in front of you, and just say, okay. Okay, I let's agree to disagree. Because that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. We should really agree to disagree on this factual topic that should be in no way able to agree to disagree on. Anyways, yeah, absolutely. Let's agree to disagree on that. So just back off on that, because it doesn't matter. You could literally hit these people in the face with facts, logic, and common sense, and you could break it over their head. It doesn't matter. They will not see it. They do not want to see it. They will choose not to see it. They will attack you. They will think less of you. They like it's not worth it in the end. So just recognize that, okay, I know who I'm dealing with. I know what I'm dealing with. I know where the line is, and I know where not to go. So just back off at that point, and then just kind of continue your day, your life. And now you know where the lines are. If you know where the lines are with people, you can really manage. You can really manage things a lot better. And I kind of put it into perspective, like when you're driving on an icy road, let's say it's covered in snow, ice, whatever, it's snowing down as well. It's really good to know to hit the brakes hard for just a second so that you can see where that braking point is. Where's that point where you start to slide? How slippery is it? And so it's always good to drive in the winter like that, that you're driving along and then you just kind of like once in a while will tap onto the brakes so that your tires do skid, so that you can say, oh, okay, it's either extremely slippery where you're barely hanging onto anything, or it is slippery, but you do have some pretty good grip. So then you adjust from there. You adjust your driving from there. So that's why I say, if you do get to that point with people, don't push it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like I said, it's pointless. It's useless. Don't push it further. Don't smash them over the head with even more facts, logic, and common sense. And like I said, it could be because that they have some underlying issues that they don't want to admit that they're wrong. They don't like to admit that they're wrong. They think that you're making them feel stupid, when in actuality you have no intent whatsoever of doing such a thing. So you could be striking an incredibly deep psychological chord within them. And in order for you to be hammering down even harder when you get to that point with them, you're really not going to do anything but cause just extreme damage. So it's better to just recognize it, see it within people, and then just back off and say, okay, at least I know where the line is, and I know how to manage them now. And take that advice from somebody who knows what he's talking about, okay? Because I'm the kind of person where I would just come in and just smash 2x4s in people's face of facts, logic, and common sense. And it can be fun sometimes. Like, if you don't like the person, and you know where that line is with them, you know, you can play that musical instrument for days, right? It's fun. And so, but depending on who they are, I would say just don't. Okay, back off, recognize it, say, okay, found the line. All right. And who knows? Maybe down the road in the future, they may come back and say, hey, look, remember that time that I thought 1 plus 1 equaled 2, 3? And I didn't want to believe you that 1 plus 1 equaled 2? Well, I've been doing some deep work, and I realize that there was actually a lot of reasoning as to why I didn't want to accept your answer, and I want to apologize. Whether that happens or not down the road, that who knows? That is the ultimate goal, but don't expect it. Just keep doing your thing. Know that you found the line, know that you found the wall, and you now that you know that it's there and you know where it is, you know how to stay within it. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I can say. I hope that you guys will actually see this more. Because, like I said, if you can understand people a lot better, then you know how to manage things in your life. So, yeah. So, we shall talk again. Thank you for listening. And let me know what you thought of this. This is something that I think is a very important topic. And we need to be able to recognize things like this within people, within ourselves as well. So that if we see someone, that if we are getting to a point that we are maybe we're just reacting, or we may not be going as far as making stuff up just to believe it, but we may be reacting in a certain way. Like I said, in these situations, this is where I go from 0 to 100 and I turn into a werewolf and I just start smashing people in the face with 2x4s of logic, facts, and common sense. And so it's tough. It's tough. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it, and let me know what you think, and I will talk to you again.